Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And while they were there, they were greeted by Simeon and Anna, the old saints waiting for the consolation of Israel and for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is our text. Here we are on the third day of Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I know that for some, it's more of a feeling of, was that it? Is that all? Not everyone feels this way after Christmas, but some do. Some feel what you might call a post-Christmas letdown. The excitement has worn off. The company, if there was any, is gone. What's left is a pile of cardboard, a mess of dishes, a tree dropping needles, gifts to be returned, and a mix of emotions. You wake up on the day after Christmas, or the day after that, and it's back to life as we know it. The first thing is a trip to the town dump to unload all that cardboard and packaging and wrapping paper. Or maybe you feel it a little different way this year. For you, it might be the letdown of a Christmas that wasn't, or a Christmas that wasn't like other Christmases. Wasn't really much of a Christmas at all, perhaps. Fewer presents, no company. You didn't even get to sing your favorite Christmas carol at church. I wonder, did Mary and Joseph feel that way too? After the angels had come and gone, after the shepherds left, after the excitement died away, did they sit there staring at the baby in the manger, wondering if that was it? Thinking, now what? How quickly did the glow wear off? Afterbirth is a bloody business, and babies require a lot of care. Of course, there was plenty to be done. They had to find a place to live. The circumcision had to be scheduled. And there was the law to be kept. Firstborn sons were consecrated to the Lord, and so they had to be redeemed. And mothers were required to go through a rite of purification after childbirth. A lamb was needed for the burnt offering, and a turtle dove or a pigeon for the sin offering. But of course, you know, Joseph and Mary didn't have much. I wonder if it took a bit of scrounging for Joseph even to come up with the sacrifice that was required of the poor, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I wonder, did Simeon and Anna feel that way too? We can't help but picture them as elderly. Anna is described as a widow of 84 years of age. And to Simeon, it had been revealed that by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How close was he to the grave? And being closer to the end of life than to the beginning, did these two saints look back over their long years and think, is that all? Did they ever question why the Lord kept them waiting for so long? And what exactly were they waiting for? What would be the consolation of Israel? What would be the redemption of Jerusalem? Did they know that it would be a child? And so we ask, was that it? Is that all? And the answer is, of course not. There is more. There is always more with God where he is concerned. There is always more with him, even for those who are weary and worn out with waiting. The joy of Christmas, no matter how dim it may have seemed this year, that joy is only the beginning of greater joy still to come. The mystery and wonder of the shepherds is the first of many things that Mary would treasure up and ponder in her heart. And for those like Simeon and Anna, with years and years under their feet, there's far more of life still ahead. There's everlasting life. Some things, you know, will last forever. And the post-Christmas letdown isn't one of them. You see, God gave Jesus to be our consolation, and he gave Jesus to be our redemption. And even on the Sunday after Christmas, he comes to us still to console us and to give us that redemption. And we know all of this because the mystery of the manger continues in our reading today. The Lord comes to his temple. The baby of Bethlehem makes his first appearance as the infant priest. The place where lambs are brought for sacrifice welcomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day in keeping with the law of Moses, so at 40 days old, he is brought to the temple to be redeemed as the firstborn. As it says in the Old Testament, the one who opens the womb is holy to the Lord. Every firstborn throughout the entire history of Israel was pointing ahead to this firstborn, to God's own Son. And the one who is the Redeemer of the world is brought to the temple that day, and he is redeemed by the blood of two turtle doves. Christ came to fulfill the entire law. And even the purification of Mary declares that there is more to come. Why in the world would Mary need to be purified? She had just given birth to the sinless Son of God. There is no purer birth than that one. But still, she comes to the temple for her purification, like every Israelite mother. And even in this, we see Christ's work of redemption. Because there is Christ, and there is his mother, doing what they need not do, but what he came to do for others. There he is, our substitute, the sin bearer, the sacrifice that God has given. And though he is sinless, yet for our sakes he became sin. Though his mother does not need to be purified, yet for the sake of the sinners that Christ came to redeem, she goes through the purification. He is the sinner in the place of sinful humanity. And he is joined to us, not simply by taking on our flesh and blood, but he is joined to us also by taking on himself the burden of the law. And so there is more for us on this Sunday after Christmas. There is Jesus as he comes, the one born to fulfill the law, the one born to take away the sin of the world, the one who came to be the sacrifice for you and for me. And Simeon and Anna find more in Jesus too. You know, Simeon, I said, is likely an old man. We're given the impression that he is very near to death. He is like the entire Old Testament embodied in one man. For long years, he has been waiting. Long years, he has been watching. And then finally, at last, Mary and Joseph come to the temple with their little son. Simeon sees the one for whom he's been waiting. He gathers the little child into his old, tired arms. He lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he sings, "Now, Lord, you dismiss your servant in peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen the salvation you prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." His time of service has ended. This child is the world's redeemer. And as much as Simeon may be tempted to wonder at that moment, is that all? Isn't there more? By faith, he sees that this is all that he needs. He sees in this child the fulfillment of everything for which he's been waiting, and he sees in this child the promise of more to come. He is ready to die, and because of this child, there is far more for Simeon and for Anna and for you. And you know Simeon's hymn well. It's on your lips so frequently after communion. We hold the body and blood of our Savior in with and under the bread and wine, and we leave singing, Lord, now you let your servant, now you dismiss your servant in peace. We may at times be tempted to think, was that it? Is that all? And yet Christ addresses himself personally to you. He says, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. The body and blood of the child born of Mary, of the one who was laid in the manger, of the man who was nailed to a cross, raised from the dead, and glorified at the right hand of God, that body is put into your mouth. And by faith, we believe that this is all we need. By faith, we say that we are ready to depart in peace, even ready to die. And yet, because of him, we know that there is more to come. With Jesus, we live in peace and we depart in peace. And over this whole scene with Simeon and Anna hangs the cross, the more that is to come for Jesus. Simeon tells Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Jesus comes to be the Savior, to be Lord and Christ for his people, to be the Redeemer of Israel. And he either you will rise with him or you will fall without him. There is no neutral place. And Mary feels the sting of that cross as well. She would see her son crucified. What sorrow and anguish that must have been. No parent wants to attend the death of a child. What a burden it must have been as she stood at the foot of the cross and watched. And yet even here in the temple, when he's only 40 days old, she barely knows him yet. She is reminded that he does not belong to her. But he's come to be the Savior of the world. And there are Mary and Joseph, come to redeem Jesus, to buy him back with two tiny turtle doves, almost as if Mary is pleading, may we have him back just for a little while. Imagine that. The Redeemer of the world, whose blood cleanses us from our sins, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, is himself redeemed by the blood of two birds. What humility. The Lord of all becomes the servant of all. And in this servant, his servants Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, and you and I rejoice. There is a temptation to want Christmas to be cute and glorious and glittery, to have just the manger and the swaddled newborn and the adoring shepherds and the bright angels. But today, on the third day of Christmas, we are reminded very quickly that the work of redemption is always a bloody work. On the 40th day after he was born, he was redeemed by blood in the temple. He takes our place under the law, and by his blood, he frees us from slavery to sin, to death, and to the power of the law. And this is the reality that Christmas joy gives way to as we look ahead to the new year. All the things that we may have anticipated about Christmas, they may be tucked away. The wrapping paper may be gone. The presents are opened. The lights may grow dim. The tree will dry out, at least the real ones. We will go back to the realities of our vocations and the ambiguities and the uncertainties and the griefs and the sins. We will feel the burden of our sins and of the sins of others. But like Mary and Joseph, like Simeon and Anna, we have, by the grace of God, been given to embrace the child of Bethlehem in his word and in his holy sacrament. And we have been embraced by him in the open, empty, and receiving arms of faith. We too are prepared to depart in peace. And we are prepared for far more than that. Because Christmas is not over. It has not ended. But the joy of Christmas has only barely begun, and there is far more ahead for us in this child born of Mary. In his name, amen.